This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Coastline, at least three people killed. Shocking to see how that boat was thrashed. Coronavirus, terrible in India, and U.S. citizens warned to get out now. Plus all the ins and outs of what happened in the NFL draft and your thoughts as we'll hit the mailbag too. Hi everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a great weekend, a chance to catch your breath. Maybe you watched a little bit of that NFL draft or perhaps just took it easy. Maybe for the first time you actually got together with some friends and went to a restaurant. More people are starting to talk about the fact that they haven't seen relatives and now they're seeing them, and so it feels a little bit different in the USA anyway. Let's start with the big news of, because I think it was terrible to see what that boat looked like, but in San Diego a boat capsized, and as I mentioned, three people were found dead, 27 are hospitalized. It was a suspected smuggling operation, a human smuggling operation. So all this conversation about how people are getting in and out of the United States, this is one way that it's happening. San Diego fire officials responded to this call on Sunday morning that a commercial vessel looked to be in trouble. When they got to the scene, the boat was just smashed apart. The boat was about a 40-foot cabin cruiser with 30 people on board, and the first report from a commercial assistance boat said that there were three or four people on board, but once they came to the scene, that number multiplied, and they started to realize something was wrong here. One person was rescued from a cliff. 22 others managed to make it to the shore by themselves. 27, again, in the hospital with all kinds of injuries, including hypothermia. So, you know, you think of the tunnels. You think of crossing the Rio Grande. I've described seeing that when I spent a week with the Border Patrol in the El Paso Juarez area. But this is something typically that maybe you're not thinking about, but the boat looked like it was supposed to be there. It was larger than the typical open sort of wooden panga style, they call them, boats that are used by smugglers to bring people illegally into the U.S. from Mexico. The suspected smuggler, that's the good news, is in custody, so alive. The feds are saying, including Customs and Border Protection, they're still searching the water in different boats and aircraft. On Sunday afternoon, anyway, they were doing that. They called that off as soon as it got dark. And the incident happened in federal water jurisdiction. Or jurisdiction, rather. So Border Patrol said they would be ramping up operations, trying to disrupt maritime smuggling in the area. And they found some other boats traveling. In fact, they found one off the coast of Point Loma with 21 people on board. They determined all were Mexican citizens with no legal status to enter the U.S. And the Border Patrol saw a 92% increase, they say. So what was once not considered to be the way to go, because this used to happen in Miami, and once the Border Patrol or custom officials caught on to this, it sort of stopped. But now they're seeing this on the West Coast a little bit more. A 92% increase in maritime smuggling ops last year, seeing similar numbers, they think, due to the increase in border protection. So if we can't get there by land, we're going to try to figure out a way to make some money off the backs of these people who desperately want to come to the United States. And how do we do that? We take them in by boat. We look at places like San Diego and figure out ways to get them in. But the Border Patrol is getting wise to this, so they know certain boats to look for. But the one that was smashed was one they were not looking at. It was one that they hadn't had on their radar, so it got through, right? And unfortunately, for the people on board, you know, some killed and some in various predicaments of health in the hospital with some very, very serious, serious injuries. So terrible, obviously, to see that. I talked about the coronavirus and the fact that, you know, when you look at what's happening in the United States, CDC is issuing new outdoor mask guidance for fully vaccinated people. Because people are vaccinated, some, and others are not getting the vaccine, we do not have herd immunity. We're supposedly point-wise short of it, but more people that are gathering with people that are vaccinated feel safe, and then people that are gathering with people that aren't vaccinated that do have vaccines, some of that's happening, and they still feel safe. You know, it's interesting. Last year, 3 in 10 adults worldwide said they wouldn't get a COVID-19 vaccine. Gallup did a poll on that. Nearly 1.3 billion adults globally said they wouldn't do it. And they surveyed people across 117 countries last year. Now, it's a little bit different. There are people that are still not getting it, but there is vaccine hesitancy in the U.S. And at the time of the poll, it was significantly lower, 53%, and was then not on track to hit herd immunity. So we are still shy of that. You know, in March, 74% of people that were polled in America said they wouldn't line up for a shot. But in other regions, like Southeast Asia, the willingness to get it was strong across the board. 96% of the population wanting to get vaccinated. Thailand, also. Nepal, also. Cambodia, Laos. But there are other areas where they don't care. Free vaccine, they don't want it. And other countries that are desperate to get it. So we're not at herd immunity yet at this point. And we're seeing, again, some of the shocking scenes from India. And what the consulate is telling is they're telling people to get out of India because and not allowing travel from India because of the high numbers of the coronavirus. So the U.S. is discussing wider COVID vaccine licensing because India is calling to waive patent protections. They give us the vaccine. We have so many people. We want the vaccine. We want it. We don't care. Give it to us. You know, in India, total cases, 19.6 million. 16 million recovered, but 216,000 people have died. Worldwide cases, 152 million, that we know of. 89.9 million recovered, 3.9 million deaths. So India keeps breaking world records over and over again for daily new cases, higher and higher and higher and higher. And it's sad to see what's happening there, and they are desperate for the vaccine, desperate to get people vaccinated any which way they can, which is why they were saying, forget the patent protections. Just get us the vax. Just get it to us now. Can you imagine? And there are people here, hey, don't want it. They could get it pretty easily. All right, hang with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. What a weekend for sports across the board. So, you know, we had to pump this thing up higher because people who aren't even sports fans are all into the Kentucky Derby. And finally, the Derby was back where it should be on the first Saturday in May. What are the odds that Bob Baffert would win yet another Kentucky Derby? And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Medina Spirit gave Bob Baffert, who was the trainer, his 7th Derby win. So how about it, guys, here in the man cave? Anybody have Medina Spirit in their exacta or perhaps trifecta or in a wheel or however it is you choose to wager? Just a little do-re-mi. Or maybe you don't even wager. You just watch the horses for fun. This horse was incredible. John Velasquez had the mount. He was the jockey. And he knew exactly what to do. Let him ride. He won by half a length on Saturday. And again, that gave Baffert his 7th win, the most of any trainer, in 147 years. So that jockey, that trainer, are Hall of Famers. They teamed up about 8 months ago to get together and to win a pandemic-delayed Derby in September with Authentic, who raced to an early lead and hung on. But this one was so interesting. And this was at 12-1 odds. That's pretty astronomical odds for a colt that is trained by Bob Baffert. So good value in that dark brown colt. And it's just a great
run. And Velasquez said he knew that the horse had plenty left. He said, we got to the 16th pole, and he put his ears down and kept fighting. I was so proud of him. So for Velasquez, he earns his fourth Derby win aboard that colt, and that's huge. And in by winning with the 12-1 odds, so you put a couple dollars on it just for fun, he paid $26.20. And that win overall was worth $1.86 million. All right, so is there value in horses and horse racing? Well, you tell me. That colt was bought as a yearling for $1,000. And then, talk about a bargain, it was bought for $35,000 last July for the current owner, Amir Zidane of Saudi Arabia. And if you wanted to make a comparison, and people were trying to do this, he gets this colt, wins the Kentucky Derby, gets it trained by Bob Baffert, of course, and he recently paid $1.7 million for an unraced two-year-old. So pretty thrilling to watch just the horses and watch Medina Spirit, you know, just getting hit the winner's circle. You know, just amazing. Again, just broke sharp out of the gate and had a good race all the way around. Seven wins. I think Bob Baffert made some sort of comment where he said he felt like Tom Brady. Right? So the horses that I thought would come in, some of them did, some of them didn't. Besides Spirit, which, of course, won the race, you know, Hot Rod Charlie was another horse I liked, and that came to show third. Essential Quality, which was the favorite, came in fourth outside of the top three, obviously. And there were some other interesting finishes, like Rock Your World was a horse a lot of people liked. That was 17th. And just there was some cool, interesting names. Soup and Sandwich, which had a connection to Campbell's Soup. That's a great name for a horse, but finished 19th. You know, there's always a lot of horses that race in the Derby. I mean, just to be able to get into the Derby and to race, I suppose, is pretty exciting. But it was exciting to see when we talk about the world opening back up. It was exciting to see people being involved in the race and people going to Kentucky. And they did social distancing and they had less people in the stands, et cetera. But you can tell that there's just something different in the air. And absolutely, there certainly was. And that buzz around the Derby was back. And whether you watched it at home, you can still feel it, see it. There's something about it and something about that race that is incredibly special. And it kicks off the Triple Crown, and then there's always conversation about, well, will we see a Triple Crown this year? And this horse certainly is the kick. I mean, who knows? Because then the next thing becomes, does this horse race in the Preakness, and what's that going to be like, and all that sort of thing. Well, the draft is interesting because the draft, when you look at all 32 teams and what they were looking for in the start of the draft and what the draft looks like all the way through, and a lot of the things that are predicted don't happen, and there are some surprises and there are some question marks. And I think one of the things that was interesting is you look at the Jets. Boy, the Jets just, they want a quarterback, right? So to them it was about drafting Wilson, and they did. They did draft Zach Wilson. And NFL quarterback, I guess, curation, or that's a word I saw on ESPN or Fox. I thought, oh, that's a good word because I talk about content curation, has undergone a wild swing. I mean, now almost in the first round, I can remember having a conversation with a couple of quarterbacks about why quarterbacks didn't go very high in the draft, and now it's the opposite. Joe Namath was that quarterback I had that conversation with at one of the Super Bowls, and he said it's ridiculous, isn't it? And he talked about things he didn't understand and why certain people shouldn't have been passed over. But in 2020, 80% of the teams played at least one quarterback who was originally a first-round pick. That's a stat from the Elias Sports Bureau. So the draft's top five quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence was number one pick, went to Jacksonville. Zach Wilson went to the Jets. Trey Lance went to the 49ers, Justin Fields, the Chicago Bears, Mac Jones, the New England Patriots. I mean, they were off the board before the midway point of the first round. But if you look at history, some of them will make it, some of them will not make it, and there'll be a lot of conversation about that. Of the past 36 quarterbacks drafted in the second or third rounds, going all the way back to 2006, only four have made the Pro Bowl. But look at some of the people that we could talk about in the past. How about Tom Brady? How about Tom Brady and what he became for the Patriots? How about Russell Wilson, drafted in 2012, third round? You know, for Brady, it's a famous story. He was selected in the sixth round. And he certainly is probably one of the greatest, not probably, he is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So what do these quarterbacks do for their teams? How many will start? How many will survive? That remains to be seen. You know, this is something we'll talk about years down the road, because we haven't seen anything yet. We've seen college action, but what happens when they make that leap into, you know, the leap into the pros, then what happens? Does it work? Does it not work? Are they traded around the league and, you know, end up somewhere where they just kind of leg it out? And I say leg it out where they have a decent career, but they have no shot at, they have no shot at winning a Super Bowl. And how about the SEC? 65 players in the 2021 NFL draft. That tops a mark that was set in 2019. So just a haul for the SEC. You know, Florida tight end Kyle Pitts, number four, to the Falcons. LSU wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, five, to the Bengals. Alabama wideout Jalen Waddle, six, with the Dolphins. Devonta Smith, number 10. Oh, love that pick. Wide out to the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, so with 10 picks in 2021, Alabama has had 51 players over the past five drafts. So that actually ties USC for the most NFL draft picks over any five-year span in the common draft era, so meaning since the late 60s, because that's all this compilation now from the Elias Sports Bureau, but pretty interesting. The next closest conference was the ACC with 51 players drafted. Number one pick, I already said, Trevor Lawrence to the Jacksonville Jags. The Big Ten had 44 draftees, the Pac-12, 28. The Big 12 had 22. Pretty interesting. And lots of young players who are being recruited by colleges, of course, are looking at those kinds of statistics because they have stars in their eyes, thinking beyond college and wanting to be drafted and go to the pros. I'm taking you for a wild ride in Florida next with Captain Jack. Hang with us.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Jeremy Scott. A Republican will represent North Texas in the U.S. House of Representatives. Susan Wright, the widow of the late U.S. Representative Ron Wright, and Jake Elzey are headed for a runoff. Wright tallied 19% of the vote and her opponent 14%, Democrat Jana Lynn Sanchez conceding the race today. Republicans and Democrats have still yet to come to a compromise on the infrastructure deal. Both parties have taken umbrage with several Biden infrastructure plan proposals, including reversing corporate taxes from 21% back to 28% as it was before the Republican-backed tax cuts in 2017. A vessel overturned off the coast of San Diego this morning, killing two people and injuring nearly two dozen. A handful of people are said to have some more serious injuries. San Diego Fire receiving reports of a vessel overturning in Point Loma. The fire department saying 22 people were on board that vessel. This is USA Radio News. U.S. Army General Scott Miller warns Afghanistan that it would be a mistake for insurgents to attack troops that are still present in the country after the passing of a May 1st deadline. The deal between former President Donald Trump's administration and the Taliban was struck last February. President Joe Biden announced last month that after reviewing the situation, forces would stay in the country and start withdrawing by September 11th. USA Radio's Wendy King takes a look back at when it all began.
It's been 10 years since the leader of al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, was killed in Pakistan.
We wanted to get bin Laden. I'm really happy we got bin Laden. We sent a message that no matter who you are, how tough you think you are, we have men and women who will go get you, and we did.
Robert O'Neill is the Navy SEAL who killed the terrorist in 2011, which was 10 years after the 9/11 attacks. In Afghanistan, the U.S. and NATO forces that still remain there have started leaving. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
Thanks for listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Off the beaten path, Lake Wales, Florida, off of Camp Mack Road. I just made sure that I texted that to the hubs in case I was never seen again. But to my delight, I had an incredible airboat ride through the marshes and in that area in Lake Wales. And actually beyond that, Captain Jack Flame took me on an awesome airboat ride where there were gators, big ones, baby ones. There were cattle that were right there, right in front of us, in the water, partaking in eating the wonderful feast that was there in the marsh. And there was so much I learned that I had no clue about. And this is a cool place. They call it Alligator Cove. And I was just blown away. It was I guess, more than I expected. I don't know what I expected, because I'd never even been on an airboat ride. So I was on an airboat ride. And what did I know about airboats? Just watching Miami Vice, that they would be once in a while on an airboat and they'd be finding bodies that were out there that the alligators hadn't gotten to yet, that the drug lords, the cartels had thrown out there. So my expectations were, I don't know what this is going to be like. I am going to let you in on a little vintage Captain Flame. This guy is tremendous. And here's a little bit of the history lesson he gave us before we took off on that airboat ride.
Very special place to us. You'll see why. Y'all know why we love it out here, but the rest of you will see what we're talking about here in a minute. But pretty cool place to grow up as a kid. A lot of good trouble to get into when you're a kid. Most of it legal. But pretty fun. And our kids are growing up out here, so that's another blessing. But the area we're going to be riding in today is the Kissimmee River Basin. It's about 3,000 square miles of lakes, rivers, creeks, swamps, marshes. Just a big, important drainage that runs right down the center of the state. Starts up around Orlando. Everybody's heard of the town of Kissimmee. Town of Kissimmee sits on a big lake to our north called Lake Toho, which is an abbreviation. It's a big, long Indian word that we don't know how to pronounce or spell, so we abbreviate it. But get in Lake Toho, move south. You're going to end up in Lake Cypress, Lake Hatchnahaw. That's where we're going to ride today, is Lake Hatchnahaw. South end of Lake Hatchnahaw is the start of the Kissimmee River. All right, starts about a mile up there, comes running right here behind y'all. Stay in it for 2.5 miles, you'll end up in Lake Kissimmee. Lake Kissimmee's not a bad-sized lake. It's about 15 miles long, 7 miles wide at its widest point. All the lakes we're talking about are natural and shallow, average about 8 feet deep, so real, real shallow out here. The south end of Lake Kissimmee, Kissimmee River picks back up, flows all the way down to Lake Okeechobee. Big lake, 36 miles long, 29 miles wide. It's the second largest body of fresh water within the United States. Lake Michigan's number one. Oh. Now, if you count the Great Lakes that are half in Canada, half in the U.S., it's number 7, but we don't count them. The west side of Lake Okeechobee, you got the Caloosahatchee River, flows in the Gulf of Mexico. East side, you got the St. Lucie that flows in the Atlantic, and it's navigable 100% all the way. So basically, anywhere in the world, if you can get there by water, you can get there from here. Yeah. Yeah, theoretically, go to England in an airboat, but realistically, it's the dumbest thing we ever did.
No one's ever tried it.
I hope not. They didn't make it, I can assure them. Hopefully they got saved. But, it's a very unique place. The Kissimmee River Basin is very unique. It's one of four places in the world that is absolutely ideal and perfect for grazing animals. Beef cows. That's why beef cows are such a big industry. One of the reasons it's such a big industry in Florida is because of the basin. You got Argentina, Africa, Australia, and here. I'm sure climate probably has the most to do with it, but it's a combination of things. It's the abundance of water in close proximity to the prairies, the abundance of vegetation that grows in, around, and on top of the water. Cows around here love to get out there in the water and eat. I don't know if y'all saw any today. Yeah, when y'all came, but it's they'll get out there. Yesterday we had one with just her head and the top of her back sticking out of the water. They're just eating away, having a ball. They were on the edge of the lake with last trip, so maybe some of them are out there in the lake by now. But cows have been in Florida longer than anywhere else in the country. A fellow named Ponce de Leon brought them over in 1521, so they've been here 500 years. First ranches in North America were up around St. Augustine, Spanish missionaries. But these trees, you're going to see a lot of these today. These are cypress. The cypress tree is a conifer. It's one of the few conifers that sheds its needles during the wintertime. They've been around for about 200 million years. When they first came to be, they grew up on the hill. And what I mean by that is up on high and dry ground. They couldn't live and survive in a place like this. It's too low, gets too wet, and they drown. Well, over millions of years, high ground became low ground. Over millions of years, they had to slowly adapt. And one of the ways they did that are all the little stumps you see out there. And they're not stumps. They're cypress knees, like on your leg and knee. That's how they breathe in the water. Part of their root system. All trees breathe through their roots. Just kind of hard to do when you're covered up by water. So it's like a snorkel, basically, for lack of a better term. And let's see. See the pink stuff on the side of the...
All right, so it's so interesting. You heard him talk about the cypress knees, and it was wild just to go over, you know, those marshes. You just skid across the top of it. And Captain Flame, what he was talking about, that Kissimmee Basin, you know, it originated in the upper chain of lakes. The Kissimmee River used to flow south, and it would go back and forth for about 103 miles before reaching Lake Okeechobee. During the wet periods, the river would overflow its banks, and that created a floodplain where you had eagles, alligators, amazing foliage, and just a rich marshland that he was talking about. The ecosystem was crucial for natural cleansing and purifying the water and recharging the aquifer and holding back sediment from washing downstream. And during the early years of settlement, up until about 1940, human habitation along the Kissimmee River was pretty sparse. But after World War II, there was a population growth that happened. And there was an increase, and he talked about that, in cattle ranching and farming in the Kissimmee Basin, which was so crazy to me to see those beef cows, to see them out there in the water. I'd never, first of all, I didn't know that that's what happened, and it makes complete sense. Why would they have so much cattle? But in 1947, hurricanes, flooding caused the flooding of the land, including the surrounding cities, so there was a big push for flood control. And then in 1948, Congress authorized the Army Corps of Engineers to construct the Central and South Florida Project. It started in 1960. They wrapped it up in 1971. And that project straightened the miles of the meandering river into a 56-mile-long ditch known as the C-38 Canal. And then once that was completed, Florida biologists knew, oh my gosh, there was a mistake, because there was a 90% decrease in the waterfowl, 70% decrease in the bald eagle population, a largemouth bass fishery disappeared. And then effects were also seen downstream in Lake Okeechobee, where fish and plants started dying. So then, recognizing that engineering decision was having a terrible effect on the state, in 1992, so think about the years in between that. In 1992, Congress authorized the Kissimmee River Restoration Project in the Water Resource Development Act. So now, like where I was and what I got to enjoy, 22 miles of restoration have occurred. So oxbows have been put back in, and the habitat has been restored. And they're still working, they're still working on that. And it's just so fascinating to me. I had to bring you a piece of that authentic moment for me, for experiencing, because I like those kinds of things anyway, right? I like to experience different things. And my aunt, who I hadn't seen in 16 months, my Aunt Nancy, called me up and said, would you like to go on an airboat ride? And, you know, you heard what I said. I have, in my mind, I'm thinking, airboat ride? You know, what's that going to be like? And it really was just incredible. I think that history, seeing it, seeing what we saw was, you know, amazing. The gators, of course, you're going to see gators. But I think it was, you know, to me, it was even so much more than that, seeing those marshlands and the egrets and the herons and, you know, what you get to see and experience is pretty mind-blowing. If you have a chance, I would put this on a list. Scribble this down. If you go to Florida, go to alligatorcovetours.com. Get Captain Flame. I think he's the best. I mean, I experienced him, and he heard that his family was from there. He just knew that area like the back of his hand. I thought, if I was in an airboat, it would turn over within minutes, because I'd probably have no idea what to avoid and where to go and what would happen with those cypress knees. He knew exactly what he was doing. And if you don't know what an airboat is, you think of this, and this is a crazy thing, too, that I looked up. Alexander Graham Bell is actually credited with the invention of the airboat. So the airboat sometimes gets called a swamp boat, a fan boat, but it's a flat-bottom watercraft propelled by an aircraft-type propeller and powered by either an aircraft or automotive engine. And, of course, fishing, bow fishing, hunting, and ecotourism, kind of just, you know, like what we did there. Airboats, very, very popular in marshy, shallow areas because you can't have a standard inboard or outboard motor. Such fun.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's time for Sir Eric and a little this or that. Hello, Sir Eric. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, you just heard, of course, I took that boat tour, that airboat tour, and this is how I am, right? For just like 5 minutes, I was thinking, what if I had an airboat? How cool would that be? What if I lived near a marsh? And then I thought again, oh, yeah, I'm not really familiar with alligators. It could be dangerous for me. You know, you get stuck. What happens if you get stuck on the airboat?
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know either. So I was like, no, because I saw people that were obviously amateurs, people that had an airboat just like any other boat, and they seemed like they didn't know what they were doing to me, some of them. So, yeah, there's no this or that. It's forget it. That's what that is. So for this or that, if you had an inside pass, meaning, you know, you could be right there on the scene, would it be this a pit pass, so for an IndyCar race or a NASCAR race, where you're right down there with the driver, you're watching as they change the tires, they might even ask you to help, or you're on the NFL sidelines, this or that, which would you choose?
The NFL sidelines.
Would it be, what would your team be, the Vikings?
I grew up with the 49ers, so I guess the Niners, yeah.
The 49ers. It's not a question for me. I've done both. I went down to the pits. I had the chance to do that for Indy and NASCAR, and because of being in sports at one point and being a sports talk show host and NFL sidelines, I did a lot. Well, when I say I did a lot, I traveled with the Cowboys, and so when I traveled with the Cowboys, at the tail end in the fourth quarter, you would go, I mean, you could go down to the sidelines the whole time, but you wouldn't, half the time it was freezing wherever we were, but you would go down and you'd be on the sidelines, and so I experienced that a bunch, and it's interesting. The game is so fast. It's where I really, not that I didn't realize this, but I realized it even more. They're like locomotives out there. You know, when you, players get hurt, they really get hurt. A lot of times with a turf toe, etc., and people may they just have a toe injury. But when you see what it's like, oof, frightening. All right, so NFL sidelines, I like that. Bowling or pool, this or that. You have a chance to hang with your crew and, you know, drink some brews and play some pool or do some bowling. Which would you do?
Pool, definitely.
Do you like to play pool?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually have a pool table, and me and one of my best friends try to go out. We actually went last Saturday to shoot some billiards.
Yeah. Do you, what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite game or no?
We usually stick with 8-ball, but sometimes we'll play 9-ball or, he knows a couple other, and there's always cutthroat.
Ooh. So I know 8-ball. What's cutthroat?
You need three people, and you split up the balls into, like, one person has to try to hit or has to protect their, like, 1 through 4 or 5, I think it is. And then the other person has to protect, you know, 6 through 10 or whatever, and you have to hit the other people's balls in.
Ooh, I like that. That would be fun. I've got to play cutthroat next time. I like pool. I grew up when I was little with a pool table, and I've lived in a place with a pool table and played pool, but it's been a while. And bowling, just, you know, with my nephew, I haven't bowled a lot. So I think pool would be interesting. And because I used to play a little bit, it would be fun. I had a friend that was really good. I had a friend that was competitive, that made some pretty good money, did pretty well in some pool tournaments. And so I kind of learned a lot from seeing that. Doesn't mean I'm good, but I learned a few things by watching that, for sure. So you get angel hair or spaghetti or whatever. Do you prefer this or that, meat sauce or meatballs?
Meatballs.
Meatballs, me too. My hubs likes meat sauce, so I'm trying to eat, of course, healthy as I can. I've had a recipe for pesto sauce for people listening out there, where, you know, there's not a lot of calories in pesto sauce. And I was like, I'll make some pesto sauce. And, you know, Angel Harry's like, nope, no thank you. No, I want the meat sauce, the red sauce. I want that. That's what I want. No meatballs, just the meat sauce. Okay.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? But I do like the taste of meatballs, a good meatball.
Why doesn't your husband like meatballs?
I think he just prefers the meat sauce. He just prefers the meat sauce on the pasta, on the angel hair versus meatballs. And it's funny because I'm known for my meatballs. Like, people want me to make them. If, you know, back in the old days when you constantly had parties, people would ask me to do that, to make them. Will you make the meatballs? Will you make meatballs? Will you make meatballs? I mean, I can't tell how many times I get asked to make meatballs. But I discovered he's not a big fan of them, which is surprising to me. At least he's honest about it, right? He wanted the meat sauce, so, you know, that was it. All right, jacking this or that, jacking the temperature up so it's cold when you go to bed, or no, just keeping it at a normal temperature in the house?
Yeah, I try to keep it at a normal temperature, but it's nearly impossible.
Yeah, we're always fighting with the thermometer, aren't we? Or not the thermometer, with the what do you call it? The controls to the
thermostat.
Thermostat. I couldn't even think of it. The what do you call it? That thing. Yeah, the thermostat. We're always fighting with the thermostat. It doesn't matter what system you put in. I mean, anybody can tell me anything they want to that's listening, and they're in air and heat and everything else. But, yeah, we've had people come out. You're always fighting with it. It's funny. And it's certainly to help other people. I would don't want to have a giant bill, and I would conserve. But I like it chillier. I sleep better when it's chillier. I don't know why that is. Some people say the same thing. I remember there was a famous tennis player, Pete Sampras, and he had to have, like, he was completely, like, a blackout room. You know, like, the whole room is so dark with thick curtains, and it was super, super cold, and that was the only way he could sleep. Well, I don't have to have it like that, but I can't stand it if it's too warm either. You know, where somebody has it jacked up too high, where it's, like, hot.
Yeah, do you or your husband like the fan on?
I can do the fan.
And then plus the
AC? Oh, no. If the AC is up, then I don't need a fan. If I'm someplace and I have and there's a fan, it's hot, I can do a fan, no problem. But I just don't like it super hot. I like hot weather, and I don't mind hot, heat, whatever. It's fine. You know, you're in flops and whatever, but when I'm trying to sleep, I don't like to be sweltering.
I'm going to try that Pete Sampras thing.
Like, yeah, he said it worked because he had trouble sleeping. Like, would toss and turn, even if he was tired, and that was his thing. That was how he recharged. And there's lots of other people who are like that. I've read stories about other people that. That's the way they sleep, and it has to be that, you know, super, super cold. And if it's really blacked out, so light isn't coming in, you get better sleep. It's almost like your body doesn't know what time it is, maybe.
Yeah. I've heard, like, having it cool somehow works, but what if you get too cold, you know?
Get up and change the thermostat. I don't like to get up once I'm out. Once I'm down, that's it. I'm down. It's like, no, I'm. That's it. I'm not getting up after that. There's no way. All right, how about this one? If we went old school, would you prefer to jump rope or run around a track?
Run around a track.
Me too. I miss that too. I got to do that once when I was on the road. It was a gorgeous track at the University of Maryland. And of course, everybody was in incredible shape and they were flying by me, but I didn't care. It was so fun to jog around it. Jumping rope, I'm terrible at jumping rope. I'd probably just trip over myself. Are you good at jumping rope?
I'm terrible.
So we agree on the last one. I love that. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Kate.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.